So good morning, everyone. As you heard, we're continuing on our series of Jonah, God's unrelenting pursuit of you. And today it's on God's pursuit of us leads us to pray, based on Jonah 2. Now, this past week, a few days ago, I went to the eye doctor, and he had to dilate my pupils in order to see into my eyes better, into my retinas. And so he's shining this really bright, bright light right into my eyes and holding this little microscope, looking through there. And I was like, whoa, is that ever painful? And I started thinking, you know, when God shines his light into our hearts to show us our sin or our shortcomings, our failures, it's also very painful. It's not a very pleasant thing to go through. It's not something we're very comfortable with. And, you know, a number of years ago, this was before we started this church, I was at a conference in another church, and the praise team was singing the song, "To the River I Am Going, Bringing Sins I Cannot Bear." And they invited people to come up to the front and to kneel in front of the cross and just confess their sins. And I felt the Lord say to me, "You need to do that. You need to go." And I was like, "No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to walk in front of all of these people and show that I need to confess something." But it was stronger yet saying, "You need to go." So I did. I went and I knelt in front of the cross. And this overwhelming grief just poured over me. Grief that God probably felt too about my sin. And I was like, "Whoa, Lord, I am so sorry. I'm sorry for my attitude that I think that I'm better than other people. I am so sorry for my judgments of other people. I'm sorry, Lord." And so I prayed to God, and I got this glimpse of God's grace that he was saying, "It's okay. It's okay. I've got you. I love you anyway." You see, when we pray, God changes us. And it's not easy going through a time of repentance. It's certainly not a very popular topic these days about having to repent. And you're probably all squirming in your seats right now thinking, "Oh no, she's going to call us up and we all have to confess our sins." No, I'm not going to do that. You can relax. But yes, God wants to shine that light into our hearts, into our souls, to show us our sin, to show us where we need to change and where he shows his grace as well. You see, God is gracious in showing us our sin so that we can change, because he doesn't want us to stay the same. He doesn't want us to stay doing the same things over and over again. He pursues us like he did Jonah and brings us to our knees because he's compassionate and loving. You know, sin is like taking a piece of paper and then crumpling it up and then trying to straighten it out again, trying to get rid of all of the wrinkles, and we can't do it. We can't do it. We can't make it like a beautiful piece of paper anymore. Sin destroys things. Sin breaks things. And God is the one who can straighten out those wrinkles and change it. And so this morning, we're going to talk about Jonah and how he came to a point of repentance, how he came to confess to the Lord. But I just want to give you a bit of background about Jonah, because maybe some of you have missed the message on the first chapter of Jonah. So Jonah was a prophet of God, and he was told by God to go and preach to the wicked people of Nineveh. And Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, and Assyria was this emerging world power. But it was a violent, ruthless, and imperialistic nation. And Jonah didn't want to go there. He wasn't going to preach to these people. They were his enemies. And so what he decided to do was to run away from God, run away from what God was telling him to do. So he boarded a ship in Joppa, which is just south of modern-day Tel Aviv, and he set sail for a place called Tarshish. Now, as you see on the map, Nineveh's that way. Tarshish is way out in Spain. That's how far he wanted to get away from God. So he gets on this ship, but God sent an incredible storm. Huge waves, breakers, wind, and the sailors were afraid that the boat was going to capsize and sink and that they would all drown. So they cast lots to find out who was responsible for this storm. Kind of interesting, hey? And the lot fell to Jonah. So they asked Jonah, what's up? Why is this storm come up? And he says, yeah, I'm trying to run away from God. God is the one who created the sea and the wind. And he says, just throw me overboard. If you throw me overboard, the wind will calm down, the waves will calm down, and everything will be fine. And so they do that. And then God sent a big fish to swallow Jonah. And he was inside of that fish for 3 days and three nights. And so we're going to read now the second chapter of Jonah. And this is his prayer to God. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So that's the word of the Lord. So this morning we're going to talk about 3 points, which are also going to be the applications for you. The first is that we need to acknowledge or admit our sin, and we do that through prayer. The second is that we need to repent, which means that we make a 180 degree turn and go the other way. That also happens through prayer. And third, we ask the Lord what he is calling us to do, and then obey. And we find that out also through prayer. So first, we acknowledge our sin through prayer. When we pray, God changes us. Jonah called out to God in prayer. He was nearly drowning. The waves were swirling around him. The breakers were crashing over him. He's falling down, or going down, 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 I'm sure, seaweed covering his head, and he calls out to God, and God sends a big fish to swallow him. The Hebrew word for prayer is palal. It means to intercede, to entreat, to bring supplication to God. And yeah, for 3 days and three nights, he's in the belly of this fish, and it's a really long time for him, I'm sure. He called out to God, and then he comes to this incredibly profound understanding. He says this, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. This is really, really important. Let's read this together. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Now, what was Jonah's idol, or what were his idols? Was probably his own self-righteousness. He thought he was too good to go to the Ninevites to tell them that they were sinful and evil. He believed that he was saved by his own goodness, by his following the laws of God, that he had this superior attitude as well because he was a Hebrew. He was one of God's chosen people, and he didn't want to extend God's grace beyond that circle of people. You know, people look to idols to save them all the time in our day and age too. Idols aren't just the things that people made out of wood or out of gold that they bow down to worship. No, idols could be anything in our lives, like money or like our career or like our children or like our physique or what we look like. That we put so much trust into those, we cling to them as if they could save us. But through that doing that, we lose or we forfeit God's grace. We choose the idol instead of God's grace. When you think about it, what a terrible trade that is. You know, when I grew up thinking that I was a pretty good person. I identified with Jonah a lot. I didn't really think that I sinned much, so why did I need to confess? You know, my idol was my performance, my being super religious, like I did all this stuff for God, and somehow I got things totally mixed up and thought that God owed me because I did so much for him. I thought, whoa, what a terrible attitude. And I started realizing that just like this verse, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit God's grace. And I came to identify with Jonah as well in that, you know what, I didn't really want to do what God was calling me to do. After I finished my degree in theology and I was praying, Lord, where do you want me? What do you want me to do? But I gave God all kinds of parameters about what I wanted to do and what I wouldn't do. And then it was like I heard the river talk about a new church plant and that they were going to call a pastor. And then I heard the Lord say, yes, that's what I want you to do, to work with this new pastor who's coming from the States. And then I found out that this man was Korean. And I thought, Lord, I've never met a Korean before. I've never even talked to a Korean. I don't know. What are you calling me to do? And so, yeah, I met him and I thought, oh my goodness, he's short. he's got so much energy, it's like he's bouncing off the walls all the time. And thankfully, he comes with his wife, who's calm and gentle and loving. And I was like, okay, Lord, I think I can do this. But, you know, I grew up in a very closed community. Have you ever heard of the statement, if you ain't Dutch, you ain't much? Well, it's terrible, terrible attitude. I had to repent of that too. But then Victor started casting this vision of what God was calling him to, what this church was going to be like, that it was going to be multicultural. And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to be meeting lots of different cultures. And then that it was also to be missional. And I thought, missional? What does that mean? I never really heard that word, missional. I mean, I heard missions, of course. And I knew that the church was to be reaching out to people who didn't know God. But the church I grew up in was very closed, and it was like, yeah, focusing inward on the people who are already there. And I was used to that, not to reaching out. So I was like, yeah, okay, Lord. Okay, I have to repent of this us versus them mentality. And so, yeah, we started this church. And just like Pastor Christopher said earlier, tonight we're going to actually celebrate 10 years. 10 years of God's faithfulness, of bringing people in, of people coming to know God's grace. But just like Jonah, before I got to that point, it was like I was going through into this pit where God had to raise me up as a different person, as a changed person. You see, when we pray, God changes us and brings us to a point of understanding His grace. Tim Keller says this: the key to all spiritual transformation and every spiritual breakthrough is to see that salvation is from the Lord and to grasp it in a new way. Salvation doesn't come from the idols that we hold on to. Salvation is from the Lord. And so how do we come to grasp that truth? Well, it's through prayer. It's through spending time with God, through coming to an end in yourself where you see, yeah, my ways are not better than God's ways. And you spend time in the Word and understanding what God wants you to do. Like Jonah, he comes to the point of finally acquiescing to God, saying, okay, God, I will do what you want me to do. And he grasps that grace and acknowledges his own sin and his bigoted attitude toward the Ninevites. You see, the definition of grace that he was starting to understand here is that grace is an undeserved gift from a completely unobligated giver. Jesus wasn't obligated to come to earth to save us. He did so out of his love for us. And we certainly did not deserve it. So how do we come to the point of actually grasping this grace? As I said, it's through prayer. When we pray, God changes us. Jonah spent those 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish. He was praying to God, and God changed him. When we pray, God works in our hearts. And he brings us to a point of seeing our own sin, our own shortcomings. So we need to acknowledge, to admit our sin through prayer. When we pray, God changes us. And yeah, you know, God does have standards for us to live up to try to live according to the way he wants us to. So, but we still fall short of that. Time and time again, and yet he's gracious to us and forgives us. You know, I sometimes see or think of sin as missing the mark of what God's standard is. My husband Lawrence is a hunter. He hunts with bow and arrow, and a few weeks ago all of our kids were over, and we were shooting arrows at a target that Lawrence has set up in our yard. And so we're all trying to hit the bullseye. But I don't think any of us got it. Sin is like missing that mark. And God says, you know what? It's okay. I forgive you. We need to let God shine his light into our hearts to show us our sin. And then, number two, we're to repent. That's also through prayer, because it's through prayer that God changes us. For Jonah, he came to the realization that he deserved to die in those stormy seas. But God was gracious to him and saved him by sending that fish to swallow him. And he repents for what he has done. He says this in verse 4. I said, I was banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. And in verse 7, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, O Lord. And my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. So why do you think Jonah is mentioning the temple? And he mentions it twice. That was the place in Jerusalem where animals were sacrificed on the altar for atoning for sins of the people. So the priest would kill a goat or a bull and lay it on the altar, and then the burn it, smoke would go up, and that would be a sacrifice to God. Now you're thinking, oh man, that's totally barbaric. Thankfully, we don't have to do that anymore. But, you know, the reason why this was done was God wanted that to show us that our sin is serious. When we sin, it has consequences. When we sin, there's problems between people or brokenness. And so let's just say that someone really wronged you, called you horrible names, and then you're like, well, you know, just consider the source and just let it go. Well, then the evil that that person is doing can perpetuate because he can then do it again to you or do it to another person. Or let's say instead you say to that person, you know, that was a horrible thing you did, and then instead you go and spread gossip about that person to other people, then you are also perpetuating the evil of that sin. And the evil just goes on and on. So something has to be done to break that cycle of sin and evil. And that's what Jesus did. He was the one whose blood was shed for sin. And Jonah was seeing something here that he didn't fully grasp. That is, that in the temple, when something was sacrificed, it was to pay for sin. And he's realizing, yeah, there's something serious going on here. Sin needs to be paid for by blood. And the temple was that place. Jonah's act of disobedience wasn't just nothing. It meant something, and it needed to be paid for by blood. Sin is serious. Now, Jonah didn't realize that his life was actually a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made. Hebrews 9, verse 22 says this, "In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But now Jesus has appeared once and for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of the people." So do you understand the gravity, the seriousness of sin? It requires blood be shed. It requires sacrifice. In our case, because we live after Christ, we know that he died for us. His blood was shed to forgive our sins. But it was at great cost to himself, his life. You know, the definition of repent is to confess sin and then make a 180-degree turn. So when you're going this way, and that is not the way God wants you to live, he's calling you to repent and to turn a 180-degree turn and go this way instead and not do that thing anymore. God knows best for how we are to live, and he loves us so much that he doesn't want us to keep going in that direction. He gently turns us around and says, go this way. It's better for you. It's better for everyone. You know, Jonah, he didn't come to a full repentance, to a place of full repentance, because he still held on to some of his self-righteousness. He went to Nineveh, yes, but he was still angry with God, as we read in chapter 4. He was angry that God was gracious to those people because they repented. He wasn't happy at all that God shared his grace with those people. You know, but God still worked through it. And he works through us as well, even though we don't perfectly come to him or do what he calls us to do. But when we pray, God changes us, changes our hearts. So when we repent, God works through us. And he gives us this assurance. 1 John 1, verse 9 says this, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just And he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And that is an amazing promise that we can hang on to. So third, ask God what he wants you to do, and then obey. And this is always done through prayer, through seeking God, through saying, Lord, where are you bringing me? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And then hearing from him. You know, the big fish vomited Jonah out on land, and Jonah went to Nineveh and told them to repent. Jonah came to the point of finally trusting God. He wasn't afraid anymore of what could happen to him when he went to the Ninevites. It's just like maybe back in 1942, if the word of the Lord came to a Canadian pastor and said, go to Berlin and go and speak out against the evil and the atrocities of Hitler and the Nazis. It would have been, probably wouldn't have ended well for that pastor, but he would have been able to trust God. It happened with Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German pastor who, during the war, spoke out against Hitler and the evil that he was doing. He ended up in prison and then in a concentration camp, and then he was hanged. You know, sometimes we don't know where God is going to lead us. We don't know the outcome of it. But God is gracious and loving, and he is there leading you by his Spirit. And you can trust him because God loves you. So when we pray, God changes us. He takes away our fears, gives us confidence in him instead. And so we need to remember that salvation is from the Lord alone. And that removes our fear. We can be confident that the Lord is directing us and leading us. When we experience grace, we can trust God to change us, to bring us out of our bigotry, out of the things that we don't want to do, out of our self-righteousness. Jonah went to Nineveh. For me, it was working with a new pastor here, starting a new church. What is God calling you to do? Is he calling you to speak to a neighbor or a friend, a co-worker, about the love of God? We're always talking here about praying heart. We've got this sign up at the front here and also these papers that you can pick up on from the welcome table. Fill out 7 names on the back that you're praying for, who God wants to bring into his love and grace. You know, it's a miracle that Jonah survived being in the belly of a fish for that long. And he also didn't realize that his life was a sign for Jesus. Matthew 12, verse 38 to 41 says this. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. And Jesus answered, A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, the men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. The sign of Jonah was an expression used by Jesus to refer to Jonah's 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish. And Jesus was also in the grave for that length of time. But the sign is not just the comparison of the 3 days and the 3 nights, but that belly of the fish and that the grave, they were places of deliverance. Jonah went to preach to the Ninevites to bring them, or God could change them and that they could repent. The place of the grave where Jesus was for 3 days and 3 nights was also a place of deliverance. That Jesus came to die for all of us. That no matter where we are on our faith journey, no matter what is in our past, the sins that we have committed. How many times we miss the mark. No matter what our ethnicity, no matter what our age, Jesus Christ came for us. His death, his resurrection is our salvation, our deliverance. Salvation comes from the Lord and the Lord alone. And it's his grace and his love that works in our hearts to transform us, to make us more and more like Christ. Salvation is from the Lord. Amen. So I just want to recap the 3 points that I made. Is that first, we're to acknowledge or admit our sin and failures to God through prayer. Second, to repent, to say sorry, Lord, and to let him lead you in a different direction. And third, that we ask God what he is calling us to do, and then to obey and just trust God with the outcome. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your grace in our lives. Thank you that you want to transform us to make us more like Christ. Thank you for your grace that you keep on working in us to change us because you love us. Help us to identify the idols in our lives that we're clinging to and thereby forfeiting the grace that you want to give us. Make us people like Jonah who are transformed by a new realization of your grace that we're able to handle the call that you put on our lives. And remind us to pray what you said in your word. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.